Welcome to The Gladiator Way. I'm your host, Dan Nitro Clark. On The Gladiator Way, we bring you conversations with amazing people who share their gladiator stories, and they teach us how they committed, crushed, and conquered their life situations and came out on top. I believe every journey has a lesson, and by us sharing these lessons with you, it's going to teach you how to live the gladiator way so you can conquer the things that stand in your way, no matter how big or small. It's a crazy world out there. It's a world that I don't think any of us have ever seen before. And I say I'm built for times like these. Like, I have the tools, I have the practices, I have the habits, I have the mindset to thrive in times like these. Because when you're someone who's faced a lot of trauma and obstacles and difficulties, even though this pandemic is like nothing that we've ever seen, it still can be categorized in your mind as another one of these things, another one of these setbacks that puts you back, that completely throw your life into turmoil and chaos. And I've had that happen to me so many times in my life. So I feel like I'm built for times like this. But even though I've said that, I feel like there's all this epic work I'm going to tell myself I'm going to do. I'm going to start a new book. I'm going to put this other program out. So there's a lot of epic thoughts, but the interest wanes and I'm losing track throughout the day. I don't know if this is happening to you, but I'm losing track throughout the day. And all of a sudden I look up, it's 2:30, 3 o'clock, and I haven't gotten much stuff done. All these epic thoughts haven't produced much results as we go into the start of week four here. We're in California. We've been on the lockdown. So what I've devised some strategies for myself, and my guest today will help us through this time. My guest today is Amy Van Slambrook. Amy is a clinical mental health counselor. She's a practitioner. She's a therapist. She specializes in trauma healing and how to get you through trauma and hard times and difficulties and anxiety. So she has some interesting tips and tools because her practice right now is so busy with so many people going through a tough time. For myself, what I've had to do is I've really had to double down on my scheduling and my programming. I've really had to double down on my morning routine. And I want you to do the same thing. Double down on your scheduling and make sure that you really are managing your environment and your space, because the distractions, if you're someone who's used to working alone or working in the office, the distractions of being home, being around your partner, having a kid running around or a handful of kids, it really throws you off of your rhythm. And if you're a stallion, if you're a gladiator, you're built to run, you're built to move, try to find a way to keep in that rhythm of work, because that's where you perform best. And I also, number one tool for me, and I've been an entrepreneur for 25 years, is I have to get dressed for the day. When I get dressed for the day and I get out of my chonies, my underwear, my sweats, I put on jeans, put on a nice shirt, take a shower, it gives a signal to my mind, my body, my spirit that it's time to go to work. And I'm really working on this week of partitioning space in my house where I can work and setting up blocks of uninterrupted time so I can feel good about myself, so I can get stuff done, so I can appear and present myself as the best human being, the best man I can, so I can serve the best. And there's some things, you know, I'm trying to do to help serve the greater good. Was in the process of buying, you know, 500 of these N95 masks and donating to the hospital. So that's happening. So there's a couple other things too, but again, move, manage your focus, manage your environment, really double down on your schedule and listen to some of these tips from Amy Van Slambrook to help you thrive, to help you commit, crush, conquer whatever's in your way during this time of the coronavirus pandemic. All right, enjoy the episode. Hey, Amy, glad to have you on right now in this crazy time that we're having in our country with this pandemic and where people's lives, you know, they've just been upended and they've been turned around and people are trying to find footing right now. That all being said, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, I've said to so many people, those of us who have been through a lot of trauma, unfortunately or fortunately, this isn't anything new for us. We're kind of in our lane of familiarity. And so we default pretty easily to coping mechanisms that we've learned and used in the past.
So that's the challenge though, right? Though it's finding those healthy coping mechanisms. And I think for a lot of the people I'm talking to and a lot of my clients, I find that everything is magnified right now. So if someone is angry, they're more angry. You know, that goes to rage. If someone is lonely, they're in despair. If someone struggles to find happiness in the world, they're really going down a rabbit hole right now. Are you finding those things are amplified? Are you finding the, like you said, the people who've gone through trauma, they know how to get through it, so they're better now? I mean, and they're, it's easier for them to use their tools?
A little bit of both, honestly, Dan. I think it really does magnify anything in our lives. So if people are in a position where they've developed really good tools to get through their trauma, it's a matter of revisiting and reminding them to default to that, because we tend to default to what the trigger is, you know, and we're in kind of a cultural trauma trigger. I've looked around and I said, now the culture understands what it's like to have a trauma trigger. For those people who have issues in their marriage or issues in their family, this magnifies it. If there are any cracks in our foundation, this is like putting extra strain on an already struggling foundation in a building. It's going to shake and it's going to be tested. And so for some people, that's a lot more challenging. So we really have to hone in on what they know their strengths are, because we can default to saying, I don't know how to deal with this. You know, this is too overwhelming, because everybody around us is saying the same thing.
Right. So what are some of the tools that in a general basis, or you can give me specifics without saying obviously your clients' names, what are some of the tools you're having your clients do to manage overwhelm and keep consistency through the chaos?
Exactly. I focus on three primary areas, Dan. It's really about staying grounded, surrounded, and connected. Those are the three big words I use with people. Staying grounded in your daily routine, in your body, in your mind, in your spirit, really making sure that we maintain those things daily with a lot of vigilance. Staying surrounded with positive messages, it retrains our brains to be thinking in a much more optimistic and hopeful way. And we really have to saturate ourselves with those things. And literally, we form better neural pathways. So it's emphasizing those things and then staying connected to really healthy people, to the people who we love, even if we can't be socially close to them. We can socially distance, but still stay very much connected through Zoom calls, through phone calls, through texts, through photos. Those regular check-ins really tend to help people a lot. Staying so connected to our bodies. Exercise is critical. Sleep is critical, and really good nutrition. You know, you don't have to go through the drive-through. There's so much that's still available, and it literally transforms everything for people.
Yeah. So you're going back to the basic, the foundations of how you live your life. And now is a time more than ever to go back to those basics, right?
Absolutely. 100%. They will serve you well. And for the most part, there's a part of us that knows what's best for us. We know we're supposed to get good sleep. We just don't realize what a difference it can make now to make sure we're able to thrive during this time.
I feel like there's a battle going on, right? You know, most people, or I think all of us, have that battle between our actualized and higher self and our primitive self. And right now we're being triggered to act more in our primitive survival self with this, you know, panic. You know, hundreds and thousands and millions of years of evolution are saying hoard food. You know, hoard toilet paper. I don't quite understand that, but I do know this, Amy. When I saw that there's no toilet paper like in the stores when I go, it makes me feel like I need toilet paper. So for me, it's just this, you know, and for I think a lot of us, it's just this battle between the survival self and the higher actualized self. What are your thoughts on that?
100%. I found myself battling it. You know, you see these empty shelves, you pick up on people's triggers, their eyes are more wide open, they're rushing a whole lot more. And it's hard to resist that, because we're kind of conditioned to look to people around us for social cues. You know, oh, if they're running, if they're grabbing everything they can in sight, that must be the truth, and we doubt our own intuition. Taking the time to slow down and saying simple things like, I've said to myself, there will be more. They will get another shipment. The food supply has not been cut off. Vegetables are still growing. You know, toilet paper is still being produced. We haven't had a shutdown of that. Simple messages that are really logical, and they sound so basic, you know, like, well, I ought to know that. But they calm our brain. They calm our heart. They help us to take a deep breath and say, that's right. That's truth. That's truth.
So you are taking those thoughts that come up for yourself even, and I do, and for myself, and you're taking those negative thought patterns, and you're finding new thoughts, new statements that relegate and speak to the truth of the situation versus the fear. Is that right?
Exactly. It's like being a parent to ourselves. And this is connected to the work I do with the inner child. That voice that's saying, oh my gosh, there might never ever be another opportunity to buy toilet paper, is something that a child might think. And like you've said, it's that primitive, raw part of our brain that's very childlike. And so when we can appreciate that, we don't want to shame ourselves for saying those things, but saying it's understandable that you'd feel that way. You know, why wouldn't you? Because that's the child part of our brain operating. But we can come in like we would as a wise parent and say, it's going to be okay. There'll be more, and I'm here to take care of you. That's about how we care for ourselves and really how we connect to what we know is wise and true. If more people would do that, we wouldn't have this panic about things that we don't need to be panicking about. There's enough that really is catastrophic happening. We don't need to make toilet paper one of those issues.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I have to say, you know, the first couple of days, I went to Trader Joe's. I was one of those guys. I saw all this stuff on the news. You know, Trader Joe's. Costco is empty. I went in the afternoon, like 2-3 o'clock, and there was nobody there. I was like, wait a second. The media is portraying this in a certain way in certain circumstances. And as soon as I got there, I just kind of felt relaxed. I got into Costco. There was no toilet paper. I was okay with that because, you know, we have some, but the evidence and the facts were that the shelves were lined with food. And I had the similar feeling, Amy, when I would go by Trader Joe's, as I mentioned, and I would see this long line. Outside, I'd be like, oh my God, times are desperate. And then last week I said, I'm going to go get in that long line. And with people social distancing 6 feet apart, you know, 30 people seems like it's a mile, but we social distance and let us in 10 at a time. And when I got into Trader Joe's, you know, I felt relieved again, because what the brain was telling me, I started to believe was true, that there's a shortage. I better go get my favorite things. I won't be able to get them. But once I saw the facts, I walked inside Trader Joe's and it was stocked with everything besides toilet paper, with everything. And there was this great relief when I could actually go and look at the facts versus what my brain was telling me. And I had to say to myself, just because you think it, right, doesn't mean it's true. All right. So I know that we've been trying to schedule this interview, and I know that you've been super, super busy with the influx of clients during this, you know, panicked and chaos time that apparently is going on in the world. Myself, I choose to be grounded, and I choose to use the tools to stay grounded. But what are some of the most common things that people are coming to you for right now?
General overwhelm. You know, and I think just not feeling like they know how to navigate this. You know, they are feeling what a normal trauma trigger would feel like. They just also know that they shouldn't be reacting to those things. But because of this groupthink, which is essentially what happens when everybody buys into the panic, and so much cortisol surging through our brains and through our bodies, we aren't thinking logically. You know, and so as we talked about earlier, if there are already issues and if they're coming to me, we're already working through some stressors and challenges that they're having, And so those are going to become even more exacerbated. So if they're having trouble in their marriage, all of a sudden, lots more arguments start happening. Little things seem enormous, you know, problems with the kids, everybody's home in very close quarters. If there's toxicity in the relationship, that's only going to get expanded. And then people feel overwhelmed to try to reach a place of peace.
So that's the current situation. And what is the takeaways, the advice that you're giving to, you know, generally to clients who now were used to working as separate and who are all cooped up together in the chicken coop? What are some tools and things they can do to help in that situation?
Right. Really honoring your boundaries as a person. You know, boundaries are very healthy and they're essential to healthy relationships. It's not about a barrier as much as it is about saying, these are the things I need in order to show up as my best self. Whether that's time by yourself and you can go into a separate room, take some time to do whatever feels good to you and energizing to you or soothing to you, even if it's just a good cry, because on the other side of those tears, and I think we've all had those moments, is calm and breakthrough. Let yourself ride the wave of emotions. Just put some boundaries around it. You know, you don't have to cry all day. You don't have to stay in bed all day, but you can do a little of that and kind of recharge. The other thing I really try to remind people about is to recognize that all of their loved ones, the people they're in those close spaces with, are doing the best they can too. So expressing gratitude, trying to be especially intentional about what is everybody doing well. What are some moments that you could create together if you start the day with intention? So with couples, I suggest that they start and end the day, you know, talking with each other and having daily check-ins, because that will keep you connected heart to heart. And you're reminded we're on the same team. We are not opponents. We haven't suddenly, you know, broken out into a battle in our home. But when we have an outside opponent, like this crisis is, it's going to feel like it wants to infiltrate our homes. And if we're intentional to keep it out by focusing on love, focusing on the beautiful parts of your relationship, and it doesn't have to take more than a few minutes. It's about saying, honey, this is my intention for today. You know, really asking the other person, what do you need from me? When both people are selfless, even with children and parents, it works for everybody.
Yeah. So talk to me a little bit more about the conversations to have with your partner about boundaries without, you know, feeling like it's exclusion. Does that make sense?
Right. Exactly. I think it's really starting about what do you need from me today? If both people are asking, you know, what are you needing most today? Or is there anything about your day that feels like you're needing just a little bit more of me, a little bit more of my support? If both people do that, it works. You know, if one person is just, I mean, grief is a big part of this, and grief is a roller coaster. Every day will be different. Every moment will be different. But if we check in and are very explicit, we can't make any assumptions, because that's the worst thing you can do right now. We may think, oh, they ought to know how I'm feeling, or they ought to know this is stressful, or they can read my mind. And that isn't fair. Assume that your partner wants to love you really, really well that day, and then give them the opportunity to do it by letting them know what you need.
I like that. So yeah, we're on the same team together. I think that's a crucial thing during this time, that the opponent is really outside of us, that you and I now are together on the same team. How are we as a couple, as a family, going to get through this together? What words do you use? Because I found in the past when I've said to my partner, hey, look, I need space, that doesn't go over well. It kind of lands with a big thud, like, I don't want you near me. I don't know you didn't dislike me. I didn't know you didn't like my company. And that's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is, you know, for me to function, I need clarity. I need quiet. I need to be able to focus. And that how would I say that in a better way instead of saying I need space? And why, when you say I need space, do people get like all, you know, hey, he doesn't love me or like me anymore?
Well, I think for a lot of reasons, it kind of depends on the couple. Sometimes it brings up an insecurity that's already there. You know, they already may be feeling like they're a little bit intense, or they need more togetherness than the other person. So when they actually say it, it sort of feels like it confirms their worst fears instead of really expressing what you're needing. So one thing I suggest, and what I've used in my own life, is to start with a positive. You know, honey, I always want to show up as my best self for you. And one of the ways I can do that today is to have a little bit of time alone. And that's so that I recharge my energy so that I can be my best for you. And that tends to have a little bit different reaction for people because they want to allow you to do that.
Repeat that again, because I'm going to say it again.
Exactly.
Honey, I want to show up as my best self for you. And
yes,
the way that I can do that is
to have a little bit of time alone, because that helps me recharge. And when you know more about each other, if you're an introvert, and it sounds like you are, even though you love people, you need to recharge your energy. And the way you do that is some alone time. We want to clarify, there's no hidden message. That's also what people are afraid of. They're afraid that you're not telling them the real story. So if we're explicit about that and just say it for what it is, you know, I'm not trying to distance. I'm not trying to tell you I don't want to be around you. In fact, I do. So the way I can be my best self with you is to have a little bit of time alone.
Wow. Oh my gosh. Communication is such a challenge, right? You know, to me, it's so much easier to say, hey, honey, I need some space.
Exactly.
I don't think in one relationship in all my life has that ever worked well. So I think it's finding tools. And it's so interesting, because I think depending on what kind of energy you have, regardless of what your sex is, masculine or feminine energy, I think, you know, if I was to say that to one of my jock buddies, they would be like, what? What are you saying?
Exactly.
Can you just send me porn, please? Just send me porn. Let me distract through this time and let me laugh, which, you know, I know laughter is another tool to avoid. But yeah, that's just, you know, it's just a great tool, a great way to, you know, to jump into that. I also know that a lot of people are waking up. They're just waking up with this sadness in this malaise. Did I say that word right? Malaise?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, malaise, just because of what's going on in the world. How can people, when they wake up just with that sadness, just because it, you know, it's heartbreaking what's happening to people, and there's so much that we feel that we've lost as far as our daily life goes. So what can they do to get out of that that sadness and, you know, move in towards tools they can use to be happier?
Right. Well, I think it's appreciating that sadness is not only affected by what's going on psychologically, but also in your body. So one of the most basic ways to change your state and change that place that your mind and heart are in is to move your body, is to honor what you're needing. So that's one way to lift it. You're a whole lot less likely to be in that sadness if you've had adequate sleep, if you've eaten well for your body, if you've exercised. Endorphins are a great cure for that. You know, raising your BDNF, your brain neurotrophic factor, helps to elevate your mood. So getting those basics in, and just asking your brain to go to a positive place, even if you don't exactly feel like it. What am I grateful for? Just three things. And be honest about what you're mourning, and what am I mourning right now? And understand that by balancing the two, you're more able to be in that positive state, because you're not stuffing the emotions down. The more we stuff, the more they're going to try to push up in order right. to be acknowledged.
I always feel like there's a balance between repression and an expression. You know, for me, if I repress them, like you're saying, they pop up, you know, and then, you know, when I was a young boy and my brother died, you know, I repressed that for so many years and it popped up 15 years later. It's something I've been dealing with and for my whole life because I repressed it. At 10 years old, I didn't have the tools to deal with it. But I also find that the overexpression for me sometimes doesn't work either. And I have to find that balance in between where I sit with, like you said, I sit with emotion. I'm feeling sad right now. I'm feeling, what is that about? And just kind of pull the layers off. Well, I'm sad because I miss my friends. You know, I'm sad because I miss that social connection and just sit in that and let it run through my body. And I think sometimes for me, when I sit in an emotion, I mean, look, I'm king of distraction. I'm king of let's watch Tiger King, you know, let's have a little CBD or THC, you know, let's, you know, my main distractor is let's go exercise. Because, you know, for me, exercise is the, you know, it's the panacea. It's the cure-all,
exactly.
Right? For everything. But still, it's still there. So I find that, you know, in like a Zen tradition, I just focus on my breathing. I get down there and I get quiet and I just try to sit in that emotion for a little bit. And I think that seems to help a lot with me. So I also agree that moving, like you said, is such a good tool. But I think the challenge is when you're feeling, I won't say depressed, like as a clinical label, but when I say you're feeling down, moving is the last thing you want to do. Unless, you know, like you and I said, oh shit, that's exactly what I need to do. And I've been fortunate and have the tools enough to get myself to move, even when I don't want to, even when I don't feel like it. But what are some tools people can use to get moving when they don't want to? When they don't feel like it, when it's the last thing they want to do, but the most important thing for them to do.
Exactly. I think it's, you know, we all have to be a bit of our parent to ourselves. And we talked about that a little bit earlier. I don't know too many people, even those of us who love to exercise, starting is the hardest part of that. I don't know many of us who are just really eager, you know, to start a hard run. Sometimes we have those moments, but it's getting through that first mile, saying, you know, this is going to eventually feel good. And then we do, you know, our bodies, we kind of override that tendency to avoid the pain. I think for some people, it's taking time to really turn inward to their spirit through meditation and prayer. And that can sort of prime the pump so that then you feel like, yeah, you feel like you're ready to then go out and exercise and move. And I think just committing to yourself, making something that you have written that's visible to say, I commit every day to moving my body for 30 minutes. Whatever that looks like, be creative. There are a million online programs and yoga is an amazing, amazing tool to help with trauma. And there are lots of those resources available online. Doesn't matter what you look like, doing downward dog or whatever pose it is, it's just reconnecting to their bodies. And I think just honoring that the start of really good exercise is to be in a good place in your spirit.
You know, for me, I just learned, you know, over the years that to tell that negative voice in my mind that says, don't do it, that you're tired, that you don't want to, that your body aches. I just learned to tell it to go sit down in the corner like a dog, you know, sit, stay. I'm not listening to you today. I actually have these conversations. And sometimes, you know, that negative voice listens really well. It just whimpers and it goes in the corner. And other times it's just barking in my ear. And it's just barking in my ear. And I said, okay, shut up. It's not shutting up. And I know the only way to silence that inner voice. And sometimes I have to do this before I meditate, before I get still, before I can practice gratitude, because the stress hormones are running so rapidly through my body that I can't get there just through breathing. I have to let some of this stress dissipate and release through movement. And other, you know, like I said, there's other times I'm like, okay, I'm putting my shoes on. It's yelling at me, like, sit down, you're tired, don't. You know, I get out the door. Like you said, it's once you get through there, once you can push yourself out the door, through the door to whatever you're working at, if you can just get there, man, that's when it changes, right?
Exactly. And I think it can't be underemphasized what you said about just telling those negative thoughts that they're lies, you know, that it is going to be good for your body. We have power to choose our thoughts. And sometimes that starts with deciphering whether something is really true or whether it isn't true. There's a basic tool that Mel Robbins uses that I tell people to go to if nothing else is working, use the 5-second rule. Give yourself a 5-second countdown and then you just go. No matter what you feel like, you know that you're going to go do it. And I think for the most part, most of us can do that, even in the most stressful circumstances.
Yeah. And I have my own countdown, which I've been using, you know, and I used it when I was at a really low time and I couldn't get myself out of bed. And a friend sent me American Gladiator videos as a joke just to cheer me up. And this is maybe 6 years ago. And I was watching all those videos and I noticed in those videos, we had an announcer because it was a game where people were battling. And like anything that you started, there was a countdown. And the referee, Larry Thompson, would say, "Gladiator ready, contender ready, 3, 2, 1, go." And Amy, I noticed every time, whether I was ready or not, whether my jock strap fit in, if there was something hanging out, if a shoe was untied, if I didn't have my gloves on, as soon as that countdown finished, go, the whistle blew, I jumped into action. So I use a similar countdown, but it's more towards sports. And when I look back on my life, any competition, anything I've done there, where there's been a countdown, CrossFit competitions, there's a countdown, I go. So I think that's a great launching sequence for people to do and use over and over again. Mel Robbins wrote a whole book about it, right?
Exactly.
And I've lived my whole life based upon that. So I think it's a great sequence. I also had, person write in because they knew I was speaking to you today and what you did. And their question was this. She says, I'm wake up and I'm just feeling so lost during this time and I don't know what to do.
Yeah. You know, for most of us, that's true on some level. We've never faced this. Hopefully we'll never face it again. So in all honesty, we don't know from past experience how to get through this. But there are some truths in our lives that persist no matter what is happening. And writing those down so that when you have those moments, you can read them. You're overriding that thought process.
What do you mean?
So list 5 things that you know to be true about yourself and your life. You know that you're loved. You know that you have value and purpose today, no matter how small it is. You know that God or whomever that higher power is for that person is overseeing all of this. You know that today you have 24 hours and that's all you have to manage. You don't have to overload yourself. Whatever is true in your life, you know you can be grateful for your family. List some very basic truths. And I think that can help provide some structure. We need some sort of footing. And so as you build your day, as you go throughout the day, take time to notice, oh, I know that I can count on that thing. I know that I can count on these things in my life to still be true. No matter what's happening with the coronavirus or the stock market, there are some truths that keep persisting and that we can hold on to.
Yeah. I like that. And I think what you said is so key that we got to schedule. We got to stay scheduled. This errant time, this free time, I know for me is destruction. You know, when I don't have something to put my energy into, to put my shoulder behind. So I think that's super, 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 super. How many times can I say super? Super, 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 super important right now is that you find some kind of schedule. If you're, you know, yes, you're someone who's in the office and you have a certain rhythm and you're used to that, you know, when you come home and you don't have that, it's going to be tough and you have to find ways to get yourself back into that rhythm. And I've also tell all the people I'm working with, I, and just in general, I say, get dressed for the day. Don't sit around in your underwear unless that's how you work. You know, shave, get dressed, let your mind and body know that it's time for work and this is important, right? Step one. And I think that's key. And for me, I find during this last 2.5 weeks where we've been at staying at home, when I don't schedule, that's when I got lost. It happened 2 days ago, Amy. I was just lost and I was just down and I didn't put anything on the schedule. I was led up on my tools. And then it took me about 3 to 4 hours to sit there. Okay, I'm going to write down 5 things that I can do today. I called my sister and she's like, what can you do? You know, I'm compartmentalizing and cleaning. So I said, okay, I can clean my trunk. Okay, I can go work out. I can send gift cards to my nieces and nephews, you know, during this time where, you know, they're young from 5 to 26. They could use a little extra money right now. I mean, you know, $20, $25, I can do kind things. So what I've done now is I've started to schedule my day the night before, where usually I'm fine getting up and scheduling, but now I'm doing the night before and I found that's helped a lot. Any last things you want to say to the audience? Because we're going through this time. It's unprecedented, like you said, in our history. And I know this would be like 9/11. We're going to look back on this. And I think that's super important to know you're going to look back on this and now decide how you want to be and who you want to be during this time. So you can say, oh yeah, I use that time to do X, Y, and Z. I use that time to build my resilience. Is there something that you, last bit of advice or helpful wisdom that you have?
Well, it's interesting that you say that about who we want to become, because I think if we can focus our mind and our heart on that, it can make all the difference. Who do you want to become? Who do you want to be at the end of this? When you give your heart and your mind and your spirit a vision to focus on, it doesn't matter what's in the path of that for a lot of us. I know that's true for me. If I see a vision and I am laser focused on accomplishing it, and you say within yourself, I have the faith that God's going to allow me to accomplish this, or whomever your higher power is, and you hold fast to that, like you'd hold fast to something that you love more than anything on the planet, and know in your heart, you have the power to make that happen. Nothing can get in your way, but we have to honor our emotions. We have to honor ourselves as humans who are going to have emotions. The more we stuff, the more resistance we're going to have. And then again, those 3 components grounded in a daily routine, body, mind, and spirit care, staying surrounded with all the positivity that you can. And this is one place that they'll get that positivity all the time. And you can always re-listen to episodes, and staying connected to yourself, to God and your higher power, to your family, to your friends, however you can stay connected to them. I believe those 3 things are essential to really making it through this time and thriving and becoming that much higher version of yourself.
Oh, I love that. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. And I think that rings true, because right now is a chance for each of us to be a leader to the people we have proximity to. Right? If you're running a company, if you're running a small business, if you're running a family, if it's just your family, whatever it is, it's upon each of us now to be the leader, to be the type of human being that we want to be, to influence those people closest to us. And as you said earlier, be positive, be grateful, stay connected, and create those positive neural pathways in your brain, so that is your fallback. I think that's what you said. Something like that.
You said it better than I did, so I like your version.
All right, Amy, thank you so much for coming on today. And again, thank you so much for all the amazing work you're doing out there. And later on, when this passes, and I know this too shall pass, I want to have you back on, because our initial conversations, we were talking about a lot of deeper things that I wanted to get into, but I want to put a button in those now so we can help people with the information that you had today. And again, I want to thank you so much for coming on and spending some time and sharing your wisdom and advice with us.
Oh, thank you so much, Dan. It is such an honor to just be able to reach out and help you and your audience. We're all in this together, as everyone keeps saying. So thank you. I'll look forward to another episode.
Hey, thank you for listening to this episode of The Gladiator Way. I hope you enjoyed it and hope you got some tips. My favorite tip from this show was, instead of saying, I need space, how to use adult grown-up language to get that message across to your partner. You can find Amy Van Slambrook. You can look her up on the net or her Facebook page, Amy Van Slambrook, LMHC, and all the stuff for her we posted in the show notes. So go out there and, you know, commit, crush, conquer, go out and live the gladiator way. And if you have not subscribed yet, please subscribe. It's for free. And if you think any of these tips would help a friend of yours, please go hit the share button and share this podcast with a friend. All right. Have a great weekend. This is Dan Nitro Clark out.